It's often thought that men who express their emotions are seen as weak. Right now, we'll show you just how wrong that is. It's Triple M's Real Men Can Talk.
Yes, indeed. Two blokes sitting down to have a chat that sometimes perhaps we often wouldn't. Next on the podcast, AFL footy legend, Crows legend, and a much-loved member of the Triple M family, Mark Rusciuto. Roo.
Benny, thanks for allowing me to come in and have a chat.
No, thank you, mate. This is a different space for you and me to have a chat like this.
Oh, it is. It's a different space for probably a bit of an uncomfortable space for a lot of people, although I think the time is changing and the tide is turning and people are more open to it and more understanding that it needs to happen more often.
Well, let's talk about No Talk Day. This is what it's all about, is encouraging blokes that are struggling to have that conversation, whether that be the professional or a mate, mum and dad, sister, brother, whatever. Roo, what's your thoughts on No Talk Day in general?
Well, it's a great initiative by Triple M, and it's totally needed in our landscape. I think people are getting better at it, and I think from where I sit, I might be totally wrong, I feel like the people who don't want to talk about it now are perhaps in the minority. That's what it feels like to me now, maybe because we do talk about it a lot more, and in the world of football, it's, you know, the players' number one issue is mental health, so they're sort of... they're very open about it. I think go back 10 years, not many people spoke about it. Now, I think people are totally comfortable. I don't think there's many people now who, if someone comes to them and says they're feeling down or they're feeling out or they're feeling depressed, that, I don't think there's many people that are going to say, come on, harden up a little bit. Mm. I think those days are a bit behind us. I'm not saying they don't happen. They probably still do. But I think most people now would have to be living under a rock if they haven't got someone close to them in any way, family or friends, that have been battling mental health.
Have you had a conversation recently with someone that said, "Roo, mate, I'm not okay"?
Look... I've got a good friendship group, very, very tight friendship group from, grew up at Wakery, and for some reason we are thick as thieves. We are very tight, and it's spread out from just my age group to, many years older and a few younger people as well in our group. So, we actually decided to start and this will make some people laugh, especially some of my wife probably. We started having a boys' trip every year, which started off for a week, actually, the first trip. But it's usually just a weekend or 3 or 4 days, just really to catch up and have a weekend away, because we just found that we were catching up less, we were all busier, whether that's with work or families or whatever. And you just never got any time to, be a boy and talk boy things much. So we did start. It was 10 years ago, actually, this year, that we started having a weekend away. And it's actually grown over the years to having 30-odd blokes go away.
Wow.
And we take it in turns from the river to the ocean. And it doesn't really matter where we are, to be quite honest, because we could be in a paddock in the outback and it'd still be just as good. But we get away, there's people who've been divorced, there's people splitting up with their missus, there's people that have had illnesses, there's actually quite a few of the mates' original group that have died, there's people with depression, there's people that have lost jobs, there's people who have lost kids. There's just so many different things that middle-aged men go through in their life. None of them were educated on how to handle it at all. So us being a really tight group that we are, we go away once a year and we laugh, we talk, we burp, we fart, we reminisce. We really don't do much wrong at all. Everyone thinks, it must be a massive weekend. We get back from our wives and they say, "Oh, how are you?" And we say, "No, we're fine, actually. I'm, fresh, it's not like a trip in your 20s, but we have such a good weekend and we invite people along that we think might be struggling, that might need a bit of a hand. So the old Wakery group has now branched out to bring a few people in from outside the group that are on the edge of our circle of friends, but we know they might be doing it tough. And we take pride, I think, in making sure that we look after anyone we can have an influence over. So, yeah, we do that every year. And I think it's a really, really important thing to do. And I do encourage people to do it more often. I'd love to do it a couple of times a year or more. In fact, I think they might be this year. I can't make it on the second trip. But it's important to get out and have boy time. It is because, you know, we're just different to women and we love having a laugh. We love having fun and we like doing it in our own way. And it takes the right setting, I think, for some people to open up and talk, whether that's a few beers, whether that's a quiet spot, whether that's just sitting around a campfire, whether it's, you know, just away from the spotlight. So if you get emotional or you need to take a breather, you can do it. So we have a bit of a laugh that we have our boys trip, but it's much more than that. It's about checking in on your mates, allowing them to talk, allowing them to have a bit of fun too in a busy life that we all lead.
Just going to go back to something you said, which I thought was really interesting, was you said, you know, there's a lot of those blokes that go through life and they're going through broken up marriages or whatever it might be. And you just said that we're uneducated potentially to deal with that space. Now, as blokes, I'm hearing this quite often that we kind of almost don't know how to deal with that space.
Well, I can't remember learning about mental health, divorce, how to cope with death, how to feel like you're worthless, you know, if you've lost a job, if you're struggling to get a job. Who educates you on any of that?
Well, that's right, but I'm saying as blokes, we it seems to be this running theme that we're no good at it. Do you know what I mean? So where does that come from?
Well, I think what I've found is getting older, so I've just turned 46, the pressure that you feel as a dad, as a provider, is true, it's real, and you feel it. Sometimes you shouldn't. Sometimes you must just be having a down day or a down week or a down patch, and you start worrying, you know, what's going to happen in the future? Can I provide? What happens if I lose this? What happens if that falls over? All different people doubt themselves. So it happens. And I think it's a step in life. And I can understand where midlife crisis has come from and why all that happened now that you sort of are getting middle-aged. Yeah. You feel the responsibility to provide for your wife or partner and for your kids. And I'm pretty certain that your kids don't have any understanding of what it takes to survive. And I didn't as a kid, and I look back on it now and I can see what it would have been like for my parents. It's just a thing you go through when you're in your 30s and 40s, something that you never planned for, something that you don't even think about until you're right in the guts of it, I think.
Why do you think blokes struggle with the conversation though, Roo?
With the conversation? Look, I don't know if they do as much anymore. I couldn't even tell you someone who I don't think struggles with the conversation. I think in my group that everyone's pretty open to talk about it. I mean, they probably don't want to have to, but
the question maybe then, do we struggle in that space?
Of
saying, hey, Roo, like I know for a fact, if I had to reach out and say to even yourself, I'm not okay. That would be quite a different space for me to be in.
Well, I think it would be hard if you didn't have anyone to talk to, Benny. I think if you've got a good network of friends, if you've got some close friends, I don't think it's an issue because I am lucky enough that I've got a great group of mates who know everything about my life, absolutely everything. I would, 98% anyway, the stuff they need to know. So I could tell them whatever I wanted to. But there'd be a lot of people out there that maybe don't have someone they can go to. That would be no good at all. That's when there'd be a lot of issues. I think people, you've got to be comfortable to open up these days. I mean, there's nothing wrong if you're struggling, I don't think. We all know people that are going through bad patches. And certainly, you know, the majority of people that I hang around with want to help other people. There's nothing better than to help other people. So There's no shame in coming forward and saying that I need a bit of support.
Roo, was there a time in your life where it was overwhelming or potentially a low point professionally, whether it was your footy career? Was there a particular moment in time when you went through and you went, you know, geez, this is a bit overwhelming? And how'd you deal with that space, if you can share?
Personally, I've never been in long, bad patches. You know, absolutely, you have days and maybe, you know, a week or something like that. You know, whether it's in footy or in business stuff, you know, not everything goes right in your life, even though, you know, most people probably look at me and think 99% of stuff's gone right. But I have stuff that have gone wrong behind the scenes. You know, footy stuff, missing out in the grand final, yeah, you can deal with that. That was pretty tough at the time because, you know, at the age of 23, I hadn't had many things go wrong for me. So, you know, that was a tough time, but, you know, I got through that okay. Business wise, you take a few punts and things like that, and you lose some and you win some. So that can create some dark days and hours and stuff in your life. You just work your way through those. The biggest things I've dealt with are deaths of mates. I think I've had an abnormal amount of mates die through either car accidents, only one with suicide, health reasons, and that's probably pushed me to sadness more than anything. So so in that position, you are down, you know, you're depressed at the time, but there's a reason for it. But for me, it made, you know, it's a horrible thing to go through. Like, it still makes me very emotional, think about all the different people that have died and under the different circumstances. So I think I try and get a positive out of any sort of negative, and, you know, it definitely makes you a better person because you learn from it. Like Russell Ebert, the last couple of weeks, his video that he filmed, you know, to make the most of every day, to appreciate your health, to, you know, every time I speak to him, he says, you know, love, hug your family, hug your kids, look after it. So even things like Russell Ebert's ill health at the moment, you can become a better person. And I think that's important to learn from it. From mates dying, you know, you learn from, right, what are the parents going through? What do I need to be a better parent? What do I need to appreciate being the person I am even more? So, yeah, a couple of years ago, best mate died of cancer. So seeing that happen, learning what the wife, his kids go through, the parents, learning about cancer, do we have to give more of ourselves? Another one, Russell Ebert said, give to the community. You know, that's our role as people, to do it. And that comes from his country upbringing, being a farmer and relying on your neighbours. So being a better mate, being a better friend, being a better person in the community, understanding all the different illnesses, whether it is cancer, whether it is leukemia that Russell's got, whether it's MND that Neil Danaher's got, buying a beanie when you don't need one, you know, donating money when you might not have it, but doing your bit for whatever it is, MND, leukemia, cancer, whatever the cause is, that's our right that we should be doing. We have to do it as part of being a good community-minded person. So I've learned a lot through all the deaths of mates. While it's horrible and, you know, I've seen some terrible things with parents burying their kids, you've got to become a better person for it, taking a positive out of it. And mental health, we've got to continue to get better at it. And I consider myself very good at helping people in general. I love helping people, love trying to make their lives easier or happier. But in lots of ways I'm not good at mental health out of, you know, I'm not good at in terms of that. I need to learn more about it. I think, you know, I'm not a patient person at all, really. I mean, I'm a 100 mile an hour, get things done, move on to the next thing. And dealing with mental health that's not how you deal with mental health. You don't just slap them on the back and lift them up and you'll be right. That's not how you deal with it. I'm learning, and I've known that for a while. You need patience, and it needs time, and it needs support. So I think I'd be in the majority of people to say, I need to understand and learn more about support there.
Are you talking for your mates or for you?
No, me. I think I need to get better at it. And I think a lot of people would need to get better at it, because it's not going away. You got more friends and family that you're going to run into and have to deal with it with. So if we are going to be better people, better family members or better friends, then we need to be better at dealing with it. Not just understanding it exists, but understanding how you can help those people, I think.
Root, one last question. For anyone that's listening to this podcast and is actually struggling, do you have a message for those people, that one person listening?
Well, I would say speak to people, speak to your mates, speak to your family members, and hopefully you have got someone that you've got trust in. And if you haven't, you know what? Speak to anyone, because I would never say no to anyone. If a stranger came up to me and I could see they weren't in a good space, I'd absolutely go and do whatever I could to make sure they were fine. And I think most South Australians are like that. I think we're lucky in South Australia with our health and our happiness and our lives that we live. And I think most people are good people in this world and will go out of their way with time or money or support to help people. So for God's sake, that I know when you're having a bad day or a bad patch, the worst thing is to sit by yourself and not talk about it. You know, you've got to talk about it. You got to get out and talk about it. And as soon as you do and you talk about it and you realise there is a way out of it, then things become so much brighter. So, yeah, talk to your mates, talk to your family, or talk to anyone if that's what you got to do to make sure you get over it.
Love it. Mark Rashida, thank you, mate.
No worries, Benny.
Triple M's Real Men Can Talk. Have the conversation today. If you are struggling or know someone who is, contact Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or visit beyondblue.org.au.